and welcome to the J Train Podcast. This is J Train, Jared Free, coming to you live from Harlem, New York City. We're every Tuesday and Friday with your emails, your stories, your questions. I say it every episode. Let me say it again. I love this music. Let's dance it out.
Woo!
It's Tuesday. Get into the groove. It's time to take your emails. It's time to commiserate. The podcast is here. Don't you worry your little head. We're going to give some advice. And it'll be said. I wish I was a better rhymer.
You're right on tempo.
I'm right on tempo, right?
Yeah. Oh,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, hold
sure.
on. Welcome to the J Train Podcast here. We come to you with some advice.
You had it.
I almost had it.
You were really...
I was really on. Hold on, let's try it again. The J Train Podcast every Tuesday. You know where you go for Bruise Day. No?
I feel like that's the best take we're going to get.
That's the best one we got. Well, very excited to be here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for telling a friend. And let me just tell you right now, here's the best thing you can do for me. You can support our sponsors. You can come to our shows. You can post it as your Instagram story. That's right, people. Make your Instagram story. Screenshot right now. Tag a friend. Tag a bitch. Tag a lover. Tag a foe. I'll take a foe. Why not? We'll take them all. We're in Feather Nation Studios. It feels good when you guys make it your Instagram story. Every time you make it your Instagram story, I get completely naked and I take a bunch of feathers and I just start feathering my whole body. Feather these nuts. Feather Nation.
Feather those nuts.
That's right. Feather Nation Studios capacity crowd here. Very busy here at the studios. We have a lot of people here. Yeah, they're easy. Calm down. It's enough. Okay, keep going. Keep going. Shelby here on the ones and twos.
It's me, Shelby.
That's right, at Classic Shelby. All of you guys need to go follow Shelby. The photography is fantastic.
Grazie.
Yeah, that's right.
I appreciate it.
Shelby, a lot of enthusiasm out of you. You got to calm down. You and the crowd a little too much.
Thanks.
I'm very excited about today's guest. This is a new guest. Hit that button.
It's the moment you've all been waiting for.
That's right.
A new guest.
So sometimes I'm like, we tape. Our scheduling has been a little bit different lately. We're trying to get used to it.
Yeah.
This is why we've had some alone podcasts, which you guys have seemed to enjoy.
They love you.
Yeah, the Dim the Lights alone episodes. But we want to always be changing. We always want to be, you know, getting ahead, finding new people. So today we had Shanae Alexander, who was fucking great.
On Friday.
We taped two today. We taped Shanae. Go listen to that episode. She's very good at this whole thing. I just enjoy, rapping with her.
Female J Train.
She has a female J Train Press Sun podcast. Go check out her stuff at Shanae Alexander. And then I had an open slot. I was looking for people to do the show. And I did a show last night. And, you know, I do stand up every night. So a lot of nights, you know, people are like, when they ask you about stand-up, they'll be like, do you go to every show? Do you sit? And I'm like, no. You know, like sometimes I'll walk in, go on stage, walk out. Sometimes I'll be in another room hanging out or looking at notes. But this was Petey DeBrayu's show, which is at Gran Torino. I want to make sure people know about this show because it's a very... It's one of those things. It's in Brooklyn. It's a bar called Gran Torino. It's every Tuesday night. I was on it last night. And these are shows that happen around New York all the time. And I do all the time. So I don't usually give a shout out to these shows.
Yeah, they're great, but you're not on it all the time.
But so I don't know. You have to trust the show. If you're in New York or in Brooklyn and you want to look like a cool person who knows what's going on, go to Gran Torino, show up around 9:30, 10 o'clock. And if you're listening going on a Tuesday, yeah, you're not cool enough to go, obviously. But if you're sitting there going, ooh, that could be fun one night. I had like six glasses of Malbec. I had like six glasses of wine.
I love wine.
Love a good wine night. Got on stage. They have a band. It just, and Petey DeBrayu, who's been on this show before, he's one of those people that brings the whole group in. He makes you feel cool for being there. So I was on the show, and I sat in the crowd and had fun watching the show. And our guest today was fantastic and hilarious and is here all the way from China, Shanghai. And I was like, and she was so funny, and we talked after the show, and I was like, come on the podcast. So Nora Yang, everybody, give it up for Nora.
Hi, everybody.
Nora Yang, you can all go follow on Instagram at NoraYang37. She's hilarious. I enjoyed watching your set last night.
Thank you.
You're here from Shanghai, China, which is a place I've been to before.
That is wonderful. And you should come more often.
I would love to. I had such a good time in Shanghai. So how long have you been doing stand-up? What got you? And I think, like, for the listeners, like I don't know if you think this, but I feel like I come off as the most American guy ever. No?
No.
Okay. What? Because I feel like I'm like a loud idiot. I feel like I'm just a loud, you know, stupid, doofy guy, and I come off as American. So I sometimes think the listeners here are like to hear someone from China talk about China. Like, that's, to me, that's cool. That's why I wanted to have you on.
Yeah. So to be honest, because I'm already on the show, I'm not afraid of saying anything I like. I think you strike me as Italian.
Okay. Well, I get Italian, Greek.
Right? A lot, right?
But I think
because I love The Godfather, movie. I think you look like a mafia.
I could be in the mafia.
That's why. I was threatened to be on the podcast. I don't really want to. But I'm just kidding. Yeah. I think Jared is amazing. I had so much fun last night.
Please, thrilled to be
on the podcast. I've only been doing stand-up for like less than 3 years.
Less than 3 years.
Yep. And I do it in both Chinese and English.
So what got you into it? Like, you know, because I went to China and there's a scene there.
Yeah.
Like, there's people doing stand-up, and stand-up is one of the few American art forms.
Yes.
So it's interesting to see it in other countries. What got you into it?
I mean, it's really just, you know, a miracle that I was watching this show in Hong Kong, a stand-up show, and then there's a white guy comedian on stage, and he was like, do we have an American host? And then the whole American people, woohoo!
Yeah.
Like, Australian, woohoo! Chinese, I'm the only one, woohoo!
And You're the only one?
I'm the only one in that room that night. So everybody looked at me, and he was like, all right, I'll do a racism joke anyway. So he did a joke.
So he did a joke that was like racist against Chinese people?
Yes, and everybody laughed, including me, because that was actually funny. But anyways, after that, there was a cocktail party. So I went to a party with my friend, and then I got drunk, and then the comedian came up to me, and he was like, you're the girl from China, right? I was like, yeah. And he was like, I just want to say this is not personal. This is stand-up. The stand-up is a form of art that's offensive. So I hope you don't feel offended, because I really enjoyed the show. But
That's also one of those things that people say that aren't funny. You know, when they go, everything's offensive, so you have to get on board. It's like, no. It's funny that you were like, the joke was funny, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But it has to be funny.
Otherwise, yeah. Like, I would just think it's an offense.
Of course.
Right? It has to be funny. That's the bottom line of stand-up.
Of course. Things can be offensive. If you're more funny than offensive, you win.
That's the point. I'm on board with that.
But it's funny the way he serviced to you, you know?
Yeah, I guess he's trying to be polite, and also I'm very cute looking. But anyway, so...
That helped things, yeah.
But so my friend said that I sat back. Like, I talked shit back. But I was so drunk, I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
My friend was like, she couldn't remember either. But then the whole, like, audience or, like, whoever is in the bar that day just circled around us and started applauding for me for talking shit back to the comedian.
Really?
And then the comedian
was
like
8 Mile.
I wish I could remember what I said, because I feel like I can never top that.
So you were, you know, talking shit.
I don't know what I said, but people are like, people are like, oh, you're so funny. And then a comedian, he's actually very nice. He's like, you're funny. You should be on open mic.
That's amazing.
And I was like, I moved back to Shanghai. And he was like, I'll introduce you to Kung Fu Comedy Shanghai. So why
and
don't
Andy
you
Andy Curtin?
Yeah.
So, Andy, I know. He's the one that brought me to China.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He saw me at the Comedy Cellar. And he was like, we have an open week. Come to Shanghai. And I was like, awesome. And he's a great guy. And
he is.
He's like created a whole scene there.
Yes, he is the first one who ever created a English stand-up club in China. He also created like super authentic theme or like venue in Shanghai.
Yes,
that all the other comedians, like Chinese comedians, like they love that venue. They just want everybody want to headline in that venue, basically.
The Kung Fu Comedy.
The Kung Fu Comedy.
Because I performed there, and it was so funny because Shanghai felt like another planet to me. I'm not going to lie to you. Like I felt very far away from home.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you feel, but you went to school here. You did exchange here.
Yeah.
You're probably a little bit more comfortable now.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember going to China and I growing up, there was a movie, Big Bird in China.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I'm Big Bird. You know, like I felt like I was the thumb that stuck out. I felt out of place. Mm-hmm. And the interesting part was, first of all, I'll tell the story afterwards, but the interesting part was that the minute I walked into Kung Fu Comedy, the comedy club, I was like, oh, I felt at home. I was like, oh, I just walked into like an American embassy.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, it looks like a comedy club. Here's the bar. Here's the stage. The lighting, the writing all felt like
totally.
A comedy club. And I was like, oh, it was interesting. It was kind of the first time that I realized like how much comedy is a community.
Mm-hmm.
And anywhere you go in the world, if people do stand up, and Jerry Seinfeld, like, I think he said it. He was like, comics always have something in common because they've all bombed, they've all done well, and they all have a notebook in their pocket. And it's like, or they have notes on them that would seem insane to anyone else. I'm like, yeah. And that kind of going to Shanghai and seeing the club, that's how I felt. The other funny part is that my poster was up outside, and there was a guy that I went to college with who was working at Exxon out in China.
No way.
And he goes, and we knew each other in college, but we don't keep in contact. And I get an email from another friend being like, forwarded being from this guy being like, is Jared Fried doing stand up in Shanghai? Like, he didn't know I did comedy. And then he was like, isn't he coming here? So he ended up coming to the show and we hung out that night. What a small world. But
that was crazy.
It's crazy. So you get in and start doing open mics, and now you know, how has it been? You enjoy it, obviously.
I just love it. Like, the whole experience is amazing for me because I always find myself to be a funny person. Mm-hmm. And I did not know that you can start it off from open mic to be stand up. I thought that you have to do schools.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Where's human resources to apply for the stand up comedian job? Yeah, I understand that.
I was like, oh, I didn't major in stand up. I can never be a comedian in the future. So I was really glad I did it. And I started with English stand up. And then Andy, he was like, are you Chinese? I'm like, yes. He's like, why don't you also do Chinese stand-up? I was so, like, I have to do that.
You have to. I know Storm Zhu?
Sorry
if I'm mispronouncing. But I met him. He was young guy when I was there. But what Andy's doing, I remember he got hired, I think, to create. I was like, dude, you're like at the forefront of so much. Like, this is half the world, you know? And it's very cool to me. But you went to school here a little bit.
Yeah.
And what are you doing here now? What's the what brings you to America?
So I'm just visiting here. Mm-hmm. I actually have a daytime job to support. I don't know about comedy here, but in China, it's so not mature that there's very few full-time comedians. You have to do part-time to support your life.
Most people are doing that as they go up. That's the case for a lot of comics.
That's very relieved to know. So I still have a job. I'm taking my annual leave here. But I'm very fortunate because the China Institute here in New York, they invited me over for a panel, which happened yesterday, on what makes China laugh.
Oh,
so
wow.
It already happened. It was so funny.
So the job you have is okay with you doing stand-up?
Yes, my boss knew about it. And actually, that's why he kind of recruited me. He was like, you are such a fun person. I want you to work for me. I was like, boss, just so you know, I would not give up my dream in stand-up. He's like, yeah, I wish my daughter can find something like that. Like in
that's
you.
Fantastic.
So he's been very supportive.
How was the panel? Was it okay?
It was fantastic. Like, yeah. We have a full room, like just so crowded. Some people have to stand. And people are just very curious about, you know, the stand-up or like comedy in general in China because they have no idea of China. You've been to China, so you know how it might be different than we expected. I would
it was
imagine.
Different than I expected. There was like there weren't rules, but there were rules. How did you feel about that? Like I don't mean you know, but I'm saying like I remember it was like I'm not a comic. I'm not very political. Mm-hmm. Like I don't. You saw last night. I don't talk mm-hmm. about political stuff. I'm talking about stuff that happens in my life
and music
and music. And I sing a little bit on the side. But I for me, it wasn't like. Like, it wasn't like things were off topic. I remember, like, mentioning Facebook, and I was like, are people going to understand what Facebook is? And then everyone knew.
Yeah.
Like, the world is way smaller and less scary than you think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There cannot be 1.4 billion people who's dumb and not know Google and Facebook. That's not possible.
Yeah, that's true.
The whole country.
Yeah.
But yeah, like there's just, I would say there's like invisible line that you have. Like, for example,
explain the invisible line to people.
Like, there's no rule specifically of what you can say or what you cannot say, but there's some, like, consensus. For example, like, really, like, in Chinese, at least, like, you cannot touch politics.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, everybody know about it, so you don't have to have a document to remind people of not be able to make fun of
it. It's interesting because, like, I'm watching this, like, NBA China story, and that's, like, huge right now.
Yeah.
What's going on? And, like... It's interesting that nobody really knows what they're talking about. Like, it kind of seems that way.
Yeah.
But you're watching... The interesting thing to me is to watch the NBA players struggle through, like, having to give this opinion. You're like, mm-hmm. yeah, I don't know what I would do in the same position. But
yeah, I would say that it's really hard, like, because no one can see the full side of the story, basically. Because you know, have access to like Twitter and et cetera. So I can read what's happening on Twitter. Mm. I can read what's happening like within China. And I know that like the stories can always be divided. Like people can have overwhelmingly in one opinion. Then other audience will be like, oh, so this is the mainstream. And they will follow that mainstream. And they'll be influenced by that mainstream.
Sure.
I think that's one of the biggest problems. And then I really feel sympathetic for the NBA players because they are not in the good position to comment. Like they know... I think they also like only know one side of the story or maybe like...
Well, that's the thing. It's like with anything.
Yeah.
With anything right now, and I always talk about this on this podcast where it's like the easy opinion is the easy opinion. Like it's the one that like I always... there's one celebrity that I always talk about, Jamila Jamil. Do you know who that is?
Yeah.
She's always right about everything. Like, and then there was a story a couple weeks ago where... Ellen was sitting next to Bush,
mm-hmm.
and then Jamila Jamil was like, this is great. And then, and this is someone who's always, always right, always never like takes the gray side of things. She's always like, racism is bad. And you're like, okay, you hero, you know? Like,
there's like the ad for like, not flat, it's like diet candy and there's teens in it. She was like, this is fucked up, which it is. And everybody was like, plotted her, went viral. And
totally.
Then after that, she was like, all right, now Photoshop should be illegal.
Yeah.
And people, all right.
She's always right. And then the funny part about it is then Ellen sitting next to George W. Bush. This is, to some, this was like a heartwarming story of two sides of the aisle coming together. And then all these, and Jamila Jamil was like, this is great. And then I think someone was like, so you're cool with a war criminal? And then she was like, I didn't know about. And then it's like, it was like watching someone run from one side to the other to make sure they were on the right side of the opinion group on Twitter. And it's like, we've all gone crazy. But that's why we're here. We're here to give opinions out of our asses based on your emails. I'm very excited to have you here. Everyone go follow Nora Yang at Nora Yang 37 on Instagram and Twitter. I'm excited to hear your perspective. That's what this show is all about. We give advice. It's all about perspective. Different from all the way across the world. Nora's here. So let's do some emails. You ready?
Yeah.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Stage five clinger. Are you familiar with that phrase?
No.
So stage five clinger is like a common phrase as how to describe someone who like won't leave you alone.
Oh, okay.
They're clinging on to you.
I see.
Hey, Jared, huge fan of J-Train and You Up. I look forward to both podcasts every week. Buckle your seatbelt for this one. I'm 23 and dated a guy a year younger than me for about 4 months. Things move very quickly. He flew to visit me when I lived out of town and we went on a couple trips together. Fast forward to 4 month mark and I decided to break things off because of the distance. Little did I know I'd be moving back to his area 2 weeks later for work. So they were long distance. 2 weeks later, they break up. 2 weeks later, surprise, I'm moving to where he lives. Mm-hmm. I quickly regretted ending things with him, and I was very upfront with my regret. He told me that he'd be worried to get back together because what if I blindsided him again? And she writes, understandable. It has now been 2 months since we have been living in the same area again. We have hooked up once and continue to talk seldom, but it is mostly me who reaches out. I will admit I have been a little clingy because I can't wrap my head around him not wanting to be with me now that we are in the same state again. Clearly, my ego is bruised. I'm curious to hear your thoughts. Do I say forget it and move on, or is it possible to trick guys back into something by hooking up with them and pretending you don't want anything? Wow, pathetic is what she wrote. Do you have any thoughts on this? Do you have a boyfriend, girlfriend? What's your relationship status?
Yeah, I'm also dating a guy who's younger than me.
Okay.
I mean, I can totally understand when a lady feels like clingy. How to pronounce it?
Clingy.
Yeah. To somebody. It's very natural. But I think that you will grow out of it. Or the best way is you grow out of it. Because what I see is, again, like you, like there are just so many things to try out there.
Yeah.
I mean, just give a quick example. Like I am born in China. I'm born in Shanghai. I am raised by very traditional family, like Chinese parents. And they always made me feel that, you know, like if you had more than three boyfriends and not married, you are a slut. Like, that's how my mom made me feel.
It's weird. It's a weird thing to have your mom say to you, more than three, you're a slut.
When I'm on my like boyfriend number two, my mom was like, okay, you have one more quota. Just like, be careful of who you use it on.
She crosses a picture, you know, like the outline of a man that goes on the bathroom. Yeah. She has three of those men on her wall. She crosses out one. Two more to go.
Yeah.
Two down, one to go.
This is the calendar I'm facing in my room every day. So, but that really kind of gets me, you know, like nervous every time when I'm dating. I'm like, I feel too so serious. And when you are too serious, you cannot really enjoy the whole process. I'm not saying that you should be, you know, fucking around or anything, but then you just have to be taking it easy, especially when you're 23.
I totally agree with you. And I think, you know, her email is very specific, and it's something that happens when people break up and then they blame the distance. That is just a way to get out of a relationship without hurting someone you actually enjoy. What's interesting about her email, it kind of proves something that I've talked a lot about in this podcast, because when people say, hey, this long distance is no good. That's an excuse that we're no good.
I agree.
And the person that agrees to the distance being the excuse usually sees that as, oh, thank God, I don't have to hurt that person. So that's kind of what happened with her. They were long distance. She ends it because of the distance. He goes, oh, good, I'm fucking out. Yeah, good. And then he goes, oh, no, you're right. The distance is too much. 2 weeks later, she moves back to town. She's... First of all, it might be her home. I think you're in a new area, so you're looking for anyone familiar to make you feel more comfortable. So, of course, you're going to be clingy to this guy because he's something tangible and steady that you can lean on, that you know, because you're alone. You're lonely in this new area. And you're going, well, we broke up because of the distance, so now we can be together. And it's like, and he's going, well, yeah, it was the distance, but let's just hook up and not be together. And it's like the built-in excuse is what he's blaming, but you're sitting there thinking, well, now that the distance is gone, we can be together. That's not the case.
That is so amazing. I have to say, like, I have never heard of a love, you know, therapist conversation from a mafia. This is just like so perfect.
Yeah,
like,
this is, and now you shoot them.
You, oh, you like, you know, girls and relationship. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. I love it. I love it so much.
Yeah, well, I'm just thinking of times where we have people write in a lot about distance, and they're like, we broke up because of the distance, and it's like, no, you broke up because this isn't the match.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I love the movie. I'm sure you've heard of it. Like, He's Not That Into You.
Yes, of
course. And this is such a classical textbook movie to a lot of girlfriends around me. So I believe guys never play hard to get game. So if you reach out and a guy is really being, you know, distant or, you know, not responsive or this and that, he is just not liking you that much.
Yeah. So. And I think for her, if you think you're going to hook up with him and then, you know, she says, trick guys getting in back by hooking up with them and pretending you don't want anything. You can't pretend that well.
No.
We all know. Here's the thing about pretending you don't want anything. Every guy knows every woman wants something at some point. So you can't even pretend that. You know, we won't let you. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Nora Yang at Nora Yang 37. Go follow. Get involved with Nora Yang. Let's do some. We are sponsored people. Woo! ZipRecruiter. I love ZipRecruiter because it helps people that are in a very specific place in their life. You need someone to work for you. It's hard to find people. Your job, whatever you do, isn't finding people. That's ZipRecruiter's job. So go outsource this thing. Don't spend your day doing what you don't do. That's why you get involved with ZipRecruiter. Cafe Altura's COO, Dylan Miskovitz, needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company. That's what I'm talking about. This guy, Dylan, does coffee, okay? He needs someone to be the director of coffee. He doesn't do hiring. That's where ZipRecruiter comes in. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. So when I say make the mailman work for you, make the ZipRecruiter work for you. Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter and said he was impressed by how quickly he got great candidates to apply. He also used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature to filter his applicants so he could focus on the most relevant ones and also focus on his real job, which is making the coffee. So with results like this, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/JTrain. That's ZipRecruiter.com/JTrain, JTRAIN, ZipRecruiter.com/JTrain. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. We're here with Nora Yang at Nora Yang 37.
Engage with the guest on social media.
Yeah, go follow Nora Yang at Nora Yang 37. Let's do this one. Coworker crush curveball. He's getting engaged. Now, you said your mom has the 3-boyfriend rule. Marriage, when do people get married in China? Like, what age do you...
It's getting later and later.
Mm-hmm. Like everywhere, yeah.
I think it's still like around like 27 on average now in China. Maybe in the lower tier cities, it will be even earlier, like 23, even 24. I know it's very hard to imagine.
I love the way you described lower tier cities. Is that like not the major cities?
Yes, I cannot let other people hear about this, but I'm from Shanghai, so I have a proud image.
Well, Shanghai is like, I mean,
it's the best.
Unbelievable. The scene best. There, the bars. I mean, I remember.
Right?
I went to.
Did you go to Beijing your trip?
No,
China?
Just Shanghai.
Okay, perfect, because Beijing is worse.
It is. It's like the New York, LA. I was in Shanghai at a nightclub, I remember, on the, what's it called?
The Bund?
The Bund.
Oh, cool.
And there was like, you're just looking at the Bund, and there were women on poles dancing everywhere, and just, I was like, I can't believe this. It's crazy. So this should be quick. You can just tell me I'm a dumbass, then I'll get over it, but please read. Recently, I broke up with someone I was in a long-term relationship with. I am single for the first time in several years. In the midst of that, I am also about a year into a new job, and in the months following my breakup, I've realized I have feelings for one of my coworkers. We work together closely and are always talking and laughing at work. We often go out of after work for drinks and food, the majority of the time just the two of us, and can spend several hours just talking and hanging out together, often not going home until 11 p.m. or later. To be clear, he's never tried to make a move on me, and we don't hang on the weekends, but still, we have so much fun together, and I believe we have an intense connection. Here's the curveball. He has a serious girlfriend he's been with for years. I didn't even know she existed until we had already spent a few nights out together with him ever out, without him ever bringing it up. I find it odd that he spent so much time out late with me and his girlfriend is totally okay with it. Fast forward, we've been hanging out for months at work and post-work, and I'm officially super into him, but he just laid this on me. He's proposing to his girlfriend.
Wow.
So I have two questions. Is he into me at all, or am I nuts? Do I tell him how I feel or just get over it by burying this? I realize this is very risky. Help, please. Love your podcast. And you can't wait to come see a show. So she writes, love, dumbass. You're not dumb. You're not dumb. He's a part of this. You're a part of this. You're not crazy. What do you think, Nora?
Well, I mean, that's why I feel it's super, super weird and super, super amazing that I'm talking about this to a guy. But I feel like guys, like a lot of guys, they have different standard for like a wife and a girl that have fun with. So I feel like in this case, the guy is like doing that a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, like I've seen those people. Like,
what do you mean by different standard for a wife and a girl like, they have fun with?
Okay, like this girl, like maybe, I don't know, like I don't know about it here, but then for example, in China, like the parents' opinion is very important in their relationship or in a marriage. So they'd be like, okay, this girl, my parents gonna like it because she's from the same city. She go to the same school, or like, I don't know, she go to, like she works in a very good company.
Yeah.
And this and that. Or she's a teacher, like in the kindergarten, you know, like parents love those.
Of
or a
course.
Nurse. So this girl is a wife material, but that girl, she's a, for example, comedian.
Sure.
She's like, just like very unstable. Like she flies all the way internationally. Maybe that's just someone that I can
hang out with and have fun with. And I understand that they, I don't know if they call this in China, but that we the phrase checks a lot of boxes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So like this girl, you know, one is your wife where you're like, this all makes sense. And that's why we went on this date and this date and this. And then we got serious and now she's met the parents and we're already this far along.
Yeah.
I do think that exists here, but I think it's a little different as far as, I agree with, I don't think it's like, because what you're saying is like, one is worthy of my, like, it sounds like, but it's like that, I don't believe that to be the case. Like but I do think you can be so far along with someone. Mm-hmm. And then someone new comes into your life and you go, this kind of makes me, this fills a void that I didn't even know existed.
Mm.
Like they're hanging out. And listen, she wrote this email. The most interesting thing she wrote to me is we had already spent a night. I didn't even know she existed. He has a serious girlfriend. I didn't even know she existed until we had already spent a few nights out together without him ever bringing her up. What goes for you goes for the wife. So if you didn't know the wife or the long-term girlfriend existed, she doesn't know the level to which you exist either.
Yeah.
So right now you are someone who, yes, he's probably attracted to. Yes, you make him feel good in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he will... If he's going, if they're not even engaged yet and he's going to get engaged and he just told this to you, I don't think he sees this as you being the thing that stops him.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like the fact that he told you, and I'm getting engaged, like I'm sure he held that back. I'm sure he's held back information from you because it sounds like.
But I'm very curious, like in the what circumstances does the guy tell this girl, like, you know, I'm getting engaged? Because I feel like if he has been keeping the secret of having a girlfriend, then how come all of a sudden he's like, hey, I have a girlfriend. By the way, I'm going to propose to her.
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe...
I think something might have happened
in
between.
Like what made him all of a sudden come out with his information.
Yeah.
And also he's kind of like breadcrumbing, which is like putting out bread leading you to like information little by little. So...
Yeah.
I don't really trust him. I would say for this woman who wrote in, like, I think you're great and he likes you and he's into you, but he also, he's like, yeah, but I'm already, this is who I'm marrying.
Oh, I think I've seen a similar movie, or I've heard of like a similar stories where like the guy, like such guy in the beginning, he will choose to hide the fact because the very fact will have you build up your wall against the guy. So
interesting. Yeah,
you will
right.
not build up the relationship with him if you knew that he had a girlfriend.
He wouldn't get the selfish stuff out of it. Because yeah. it is selfish. He's being yeah. like, yeah, I like that you give me attention to make me feel hot.
Yeah.
And I think for her, the only way in is out. Mm-hmm. So this is like, and I know this is advice that's really hard to take because I've given this advice before and you get this response that I don't know how to tell you not to do. Mm-hmm. So it'll be like, for her, you have to stop being so friendly with him.
Yeah.
You have to walk away from him. You have to stop doing the late nights with him. You're saying, how could his wife or how could his girlfriend let him out so late? Yeah, he's lying to her. Mm. So you need to stop with all of this kind of interpersonal stuff. You have to be coworkers again. If he comes to you, and then you have to move on with your life. You have to date other people. And there's a chance, and I'm not saying don't do this for the chance of this. I'm saying, I don't know what's going to happen. Because a lot of people, if I give this advice, they'll go, okay, so I pull away from him, then I wait for him? No. You pull away from him because he ain't going to fucking date you. Mm. So you got to go out with new people, meet new guys, take the things you like about him to relate to the next person, take the things that he does that you can relate to create a standard. And then the only way this happens is if he goes, hey, why aren't we hanging out anymore? And you go, and then you say, you have a girlfriend. It felt like we were having a connection that was more than just friends. You're also proposing to your girlfriend. Then you lay it out.
Mm.
That's your chance to go, this is why I'm, you know,
yeah.
And this is why I pulled away. But first you have to pull away and not count on that happening. Because he might just play aloof forever and find a new person to fit into your role that makes him feel like a big, you know, man, you know, fucking big cock of the walk.
I have an advice on top of that.
Please.
Please, while you are pulling away, you have to watch this show called Why Women Kill.
Okay.
It's getting so popular in China, and all the girls are like, it feels like your life is not complete if you haven't killed a man.
Really?
So, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Okay, Shelby, get out the... yeah. So what about... So you're saying that she might murder this guy?
No, I'm just saying that like you've seen the show or you've heard of the
no.
show? Oh, really?
What's the show?
It's a show by Lucy Liu.
I'm guessing it's Why Women Kill, but...
Yeah. It's just about it's a very well produced show. It's about like three women in different time of the era, like one girls from 60s, from 80s, and the other one from modern, and they're in the three very different relationship, but in all three relationship they have been into huge trouble or difficulty with their husband or their partner.
And interesting.
In one of all husbands, by the way, and in one of them is a husband, you know, having, you know, like this affair. And then this girl was like hesitating if she should continue or not continue. And then the reason why I'm talking about this show is because like everybody in the show, they only know one, you know, they only know like one side of story as we were talking about previously. So you will feel like, oh, I see this side of story. So this guy loved me. He just loved the wife and this and that. But then you watch the show, you knew that, okay, actually what a guy thinking is this and that.
Yeah, I totally agree that there's another side of this. There's the woman that he just got engaged to, and that's why you pull away. Like people kill over their love lives. Like this is the thing. I remember like my when I started driving, my dad's like, that's, you know, a car is really the only way you could kill someone. And I'm like, that's a weird way to put it. And it's like, yeah, also getting involved in someone's relationship where it's not yours. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. We're sponsored, people. Indochino. That's right, baby. Indochino. Listen, the best part, Indochino does made-to-measure menswear company. Okay? This is a fantastic gift This is something great for dad or your boyfriend, or if you're a guy out there, nothing looks better. You don't fit in anything they put on the rack, okay? I am a big torsoed, large, thick-chested, short-torsoed man. T-shirts are hard for me to find because it's either like a dress or it's like a crop top. When you get made to measure, you're like, oh, I can look like a normal person in clothing. That's where Indochino comes in, okay? Indochino is the world's most exciting made-to-measure menswear company. They make suits and shirts to your exact measurement for an unparalleled fit and comfort. Here's how it works. You visit a stylist at their showroom, over 40 showrooms in North America. Have them take your measurements personally or measure at home yourself and shop online at Indochino.com. Choose your fabric inside and out. Choose your design customizations. Submit your measurements with your choices. Relax while your suit gets professionally tailored. This week, my listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $369. People.
Christmas is coming.
That's right. Christmas is coming.
Thanksgiving's
coming. This is just a great gift. $369 for a made-to-measure suit is crazy good price. Indochino.com, when entering my code JTRAIN at checkout. That's 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit. That's crazy. Plus, shipping's free. That's Indochino.com, promo code JTRAIN. Any premium suit for just $369, free shipping. Incredible deal for a premium made-to-measure suit. Once you go custom, you don't go back. That's the truth. Because custom is where it's at. I'm telling you that right now.
And Jared is having a shirt that says, I have an offer you can't refuse.
That's right. You can't refuse this. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Nora Yang at Nora Yang 37. Okay, let's do this one. Is he just a huge douche or was he never into it to begin with?
Is there ever... I'm just curious. Sure. A guy emailing you?
So when we first started doing this podcast, it was all men that wrote in.
Really?
Yeah. And then we would, every now and again, we got a female email and we would play music to like announce it. I don't know if we have the music still. We don't even have the music anymore.
86 did, yeah, is that what they say?
It wasn't working in. No. And then we got somewhere along the line, women started hearing this podcast, and it was made more for women, I guess. That's who really got into it, and we get so many emails. And this person right now, coming to you once again for your words of wisdom, I wrote in a few weeks ago about a guy who I was seeing who was giving major relationship vibes. We had been seeing each other exclusively for a few months, met each other's friends, talked every day, the whole thing, but I wasn't sure exactly what we were because we didn't discuss it. Things were going pretty great until this past weekend. I went to the U Up Pod in Atlanta. It was great, thank you. And my friend and I met up with other friends to go out after. The guy I'd been seeing also wanted to meet us out. And we were having fun and mingling with each other's friends. I realized my phone was missing and we soon figured out it was stolen. Everyone else in the group we were with started helping look for it, calling and tracking it while the police involved. While the guy I was seeing sat there and laughed and drank his beer. It's a bad sign. Also, I mean, to take his side a little bit, what's he supposed to do? But he could help. After I left the bar and went home, he ignored my calls from friend's phone. He finally called back to tell me that I don't have my shit together, and this really shows my age. For reference, I'm 22 and he's 25. After about a huge difference, he's basically, after about an hour of him basically telling me that getting my phone stolen was somehow my fault, made me immature, I decided to end the convo. I haven't heard from him since. My question is, what the fuck? Do you think he was looking for an out, or is he just this big a douche to blame me getting my phone stolen or being immature? Things were going really well. He even spent the night the Thursday before this happened. Any insight would be great on this. Would love to hear your thoughts. Do you have any thoughts on this?
My thought is that he stole the phone. That's it.
Like, oh, really? He's like, I gotta get out of this relationship. I'll steal it. I'll blame it on her. That would be the ultimate version of gaslighting. just being like, oh, you can't keep your phone together. Yeah. It's in his back pocket.
You lost your phone and this man. No, I'm just kidding. But I mean, it's this is the funny thing that he posts the age difference.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, what's your definition in the US that, like, a 22-year-old girl should be doing. But I know a lot of adults lost their phone, lost their wallet all the time.
Absolutely.
Like what does their... What does that to do with age at all? So
well, that's how people end relationships. And the thing is, he wasn't that into you to begin with. Mm. He was looking for an out. He saw that it got more serious than he wanted it to get. Mm. And he was like, okay, the first sign that I can get out of this and create a little fire, I'm going to create it. I'm going to fan the flames. I think this is what he did. Because what you're saying, everything you said is correct. People of all ages lose their phones, okay? Maturity isn't... Listen, it's one thing to lose six phones. It's one thing to watch someone lose one phone. Mm-hmm. We've all lost one thing.
Yeah.
So he is making a big deal out of this because it's undeniable. And it's going back to the Jamila Jamil thing where she's always right. So if you go to her, well, if you say to her, well, you know, it's nice that there's diet products out there. She'll go, you're in favor of children on diet products? It's like, yeah, I'm always wrong. That's the thing for him. He can always be right. He can go, you lost your phone. You're immature. I need to be with someone who's mature. And it's like, you're 25 and drinking White Claw, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you're not, how mature are you? So to me, this isn't you doing anything wrong or being immature. I would run away from this dude. Because he was looking for the out, and he's like, okay, see that little spark of a problem? I'll wave a fan on it to make it a huge inferno, and then I'll run out behind the fire.
I totally agree with you, and that just reminds me of one thing that I wanted to share.
Please.
Is that from my experience of dating or relationship, I find that there's one thing very important when you need to see how it feels when you're with your guy is that when you feel down for whatever reason, for example, you had a fight with a parent,
sure.
You had a bad day at work, you lost your phone in this instances, you have to see what your partner responds to that, because that is one of the best signs to see how he will take care of you in the future.
Yeah.
Because when you're happy together and it's happy together, when you're sad together about one thing, for example, you both are going to a festival and then the festival got canceled, that's affecting both of you. So if he's comforting you on that thing, that doesn't count. But if you are down for something personally to you that has nothing to do with him, then how he responds will be a good indicator.
And it's effort. That's and the,
totally.
There's nothing harder than helping someone that you don't, just like you're saying, you're not even on their wavelength.
Yeah.
But you feel it.
Yeah.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com.
Guests getting comfortable. Episode shifting into second gear.
Nora Yang at Nora Yang 37. We are, let's do another email. Reappearing with a Facebook friend request. Okay. J Train and my man who makes me feel sorts of ways I have not felt before. Classic Shell. This is a dude email. I have a question about something a girl did. I have a question about something a girl did the other day. We had matched on Bumble and got to the point where we were texting, exchanging Instagrams, and had plans that never ended up happening. Then it just fizzled out. Our last communication was just over a month ago. Mm. What are the dating apps in China?
We have a knockoff of Tinder. It's called Tantan.
Okay.
Like just super similar.
What does Tantan mean in English?
Tantan is like explore.
Okay.
Yeah, literally. What else?
Do you have other ones?
We have like WeChat. And then in WeChat, we have this nearby function.
Okay.
I think Facebook also has it. I can't remember.
But WeChat is huge.
It is.
I remember that was like a big thing there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you can meet random people off of WeChat?
So like what's that is like you... I forgot if you shake your phone and then you just turn on your location services and then you shake your phone and then it will tell you who is nearby to you.
Really?
Like within 100 meter, these people, and you can say hi and then they can say hi back and then you can
Do connect. People meet people that way?
You will meet a lot of prostitutes on that. That's what I heard.
Good to know. So I just fizzled out. Our last communication was just over a month ago. Then on Sunday, while drowning in some bad scaries... Sunday scaries, Sunday weirds is like that anxiety you feel after drinking 3 days in a row.
Okay.
I got a friend request from her on Facebook. I accepted it and prompted me to text her, "Hey, stranger." I'm curious on this thoughts on this Facebook request. Was she trying to get to me to reach out again? Our conversation was great before, so I'm curious to see how things go this time. I'm just surprised she didn't just shoot me a text if that's what she wanted. This may be unnecessary info, but it may help too. We're both new to where we live since we both just graduated and don't really know anybody. Do you have any thoughts on this?
So let me kind of rephrase what's going on. So they were connected on Instagram.
They matched on Bumble, which is another dating app here. It's like Tinder, except the only way you can talk to the...
But the conversation expired after a certain time.
Then they exchanged numbers. They made a plan, but they never happened.
Okay.
Then it just fizzled out. They stopped talking.
But then she reached out.
Then today, this weekend, Sunday night, she Facebook friend requests. And then they start texting again. So he's wondering, what does this all kind of mean? Why wouldn't she just text him?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't find it to be surprising. I mean, there might be something.
I don't think any of us are surprised. I don't even think he's surprised.
Really? He seems to be confused.
I think he's surprised. He's confused that she wouldn't text. What does it mean to do the Facebook request?
Yeah, but there's more information of you on Facebook. So she wanted to know about more about you other than just like texting.
Oh, it's more investigation.
I think so. Because otherwise, you're just a random person. Like, a lot of people make fake profiles on Tinder. Or like a Tumble or whatever it is.
But I totally agree with what you're saying. I think this is investigatory. I think all of us are trying to convince ourselves into dates a lot of times. Where you're like, because it's the person versus my couch. And the couch is really good. And you're like,
your couch is really amazing, to be honest.
Couch,
I'm choosing this over my boyfriend.
But I'm saying this couch, you go, you're like, do I want to leave the house or not? And so I do think, in addition to what you're saying, I think she's investigating him. I think what's going on right now, and this is where it gets confusing, is people are trying to ask each other out without any chance of ever getting turned down. So we love comfortability. We love to be comfortable, and we hate hearing someone go, no. So what we do is we Facebook friend requests. We do these soft reach outs that get the other person to react positively, and the more positive reactions we get, it's basically like asking each other out in a 15-step process. So it's like when you go on someone's Instagram and you like 10 pictures in a row, and then you go, and then they like 10 pictures of yours in a row. Then you follow. Then they follow you. These are all like buying signals that you're giving buying signals, and then they come back with a buying signal to say, don't worry, you won't get hurt here. So Facebook friend request is a version of, hey, I'm thinking about you. And then if he accepts it, it's like, hey, I accept that thought. Then it tells him, now he's already done what she wanted. He texted. And then she goes, oh, now we're back in the swing of things. Now it's, instead of her texting, the other option was her texting, hey, being vulnerable and going, hey, we never went out a month ago. I thought we had a really good conversation. I want to go out now. That has a yes or no answer. Facebook friend request, there's no yes or no question. Answer.
That's so surprising to me.
Isn't that interesting,
you know,
though?
All the like education or whatever impression I get of the U.S. that people here are way more direct. So in all the movies, it's like, okay, after drink, your place, my place, that's it. But then in China or in Asian culture, we are more, you know, taking it step by step, and then we will indicating. For example, I'll be like, the moon is beautiful. If you agree with me, then you also like me in a way, and then we can continue the conversation.
Well, this is kind of going towards that Asian route, I would assume.
But that's Asian culture, so I'm very surprised to see that you are also interpreting as this, you know, like step by step.
I think this
approach is
happening a lot more now,
especially
with social media. I think media has allowed us to not get hurt, but also get hurt. Like we're doing death by a thousand paper cuts. So we're like this girl was like, I don't want to get turned down, so instead I'm gonna Facebook friend request to see if he does anything positive.
Okay.
And now it'll inch me towards a date. If I'm this guy, she likes you. She wants to go out. She's already said that on a dating app. You have to stop with the tippy toe. You got to go, hey, let's get drinks this Thursday. And you got to stop with this, oh, I'm busy. No. be direct, be turned down. Be put yourself in a position to be turned down, or else you do nothing.
I agree with that.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. We're sponsored people. Have you heard the buzz about Rothy's? They're the shoe company that's making cute shoes out of recycled plastic water bottles. They're insanely comfortable and machine washable.
Oh, I think I've heard of this.
Have you heard of them?
Yeah.
They're great. I got them for my
big in China too. I've seen it on WeChat store.
Okay. WeChat has everything.
What's her name? The queen or the princess of
UK
also wear that, right?
She wears them.
Okay, yeah, I know this.
That was part of their ad company. Kate Middleton wears them.
Yeah, I know about this brand.
I got them for my mom because I was like, you're the Kate Middleton in my life. And she loves them. They're great. Yeah. They're comfortable. They work for a bunch of different events and in between work and to work and all that stuff. So Rothy's is the everyday flat for life on the go. Stylish, classic, comfortable. They come in four styles. The flat, the point, the loafer, and the sneaker. They go with everything. Office to the weekend. And they come in tons of cute colors, patterns like herringbone, zebra, and ombre. Plus, they're sustainable. These shoes are made from recycled plastic water bottles, and they are manufactured in a zero-waste facility, so you can feel good about wearing them. This is great. Also, 85% of shoes end up in landfills, not Rothy's. When you're done, instead of throwing the shoes away, you send them back to Rothy's for free. They'll be recycled and outsold for new shoes. Awesome. So check out all the amazing styles available right now at Rothys.com/JTrain. That's Rothys.com/JTrain. Rothys.com/JTrain to get your new favorite flats. Comfort, style, sustainability. These are the shoes you've been waiting for. Head to Rothys.com/JTrain today. If anything, just go to the site and look at them. Look at them. They're going to fit into your life. That's the thing about these shoes. Rothys.com/JTrain. Rothys, be comfortable and cute. Here with Nora Yang. At Nora Yang 37. We got time for one more.
One more email.
Let's do this. Okay. What do we think? I'm going to give you the choice based on the titles. Mm. Okay. Can someone be too broke to date? Set up after a long relationship. Get the fuck out of my town. Forever fucking 40-year-olds. I friend zone an already shy guy in college, and now 5 years I fell for him. Please help. Erasing an ex, asking a younger bloke out without looking like a creep, help an Aussie chick out. What gives? Messaging a coworker all day while sitting right next to each other. The high school ex, talking to a guy fresh out of a 6-year relationship, jerks off to my IG. Any of these?
This one, I can't remember. There's one that, I can go with it. Can someone be too broke to date thing?
Okay, let's do the too broke to date.
This is funny because in China, like a lot of the comedians, as I said, like they're, like first of all, the comedians are very young in China because you have to be, you know, like young, you know, into new things and not to be a comedian. So a lot of them are like just fresh graduates or they're even like in school still.
Sure.
And then, or if even if they're graduated, they're doing comedian slash some like, you know, just very low paid job. Mm-hmm. So they're all not complaining, but they're making jokes about, you know, them being single because they're too broke for girls to date.
I can understand that. And like, also like that, you know, it's less too broke to date. I think a lot of times it's like, too not sure of my future to make you any promises.
That is so well put. Yes.
Right? Like, yes. And it's sometimes like, I mean, sometimes people be like, you know, it doesn't matter how old you are. If you're not happy in your job or in your life and you don't know what 5 years kind of presents for you, it's tough to like take what you feel like when you start dating someone is you're taking them along for your ride that you don't know where it's going.
Yeah.
So it's hard to make any promises to anyone. Let's read the email. I'm 24 and moved to NYC earlier this year and have recently decided to try out Hinge dating apps. Hinge is another dating app like Tinder.
There are too many dating apps here. That's just
there's a lot. I'm a Hinge fan. I met up with a guy from Hinge, 26, decent job. I swear this pertains to the story. At a bar Sunday afternoon, we had drinks, watched football game, and then part of the baseball game. I thought the date went well. We seemed to click, made out at the end of the date, and left it that we would hang out again soon. I hadn't heard from him, so I texted him and got this response. Okay. Hey, I had fun the other night. We should hang out again soon. Here's his response. Hey, I had fun the other night too. Definitely want to hang out again soon, but between Oktoberfest, Yankee playoff games, and booking Yacht Week for next year, my wallet is hurting right now. Ha ha. Okay.
This is different than I expected. Just very...
this is hilarious. Between Oktoberfest, Yankee playoff games, Yacht Week. You can't mention Yacht Week and your wallet being light.
Come on, buddy.
Come on, dude.
Okay. This is a different story. Like,
but how? I have tea with the queen.
Wait, have you seen that one tweet? It's like, somebody please help me budget. And it like lists, like, I have $10 for food, $20 for transportation, $50,000 on candles. What am I doing wrong? Like,
yeah, it's so crazy. It also is, it's also like very, like, do you have any relation to this, Nora? I'm wondering, because it feels very millennial American to be like, oh, I got, to like make your excuse about money, but then you're doing all these other things with your money.
You can't go out. My dog has yoga classes.
Yeah. How will I go out? I can't go out this week. I have to get the prime rib ready. My new Gucci loafers are coming in and I have to get them fitted. And I just can't be worried dating and spending money on this.
Yeah. I mean, just, oh my God. Like, I don't even know where to start. Like, what do you expect in this guy? He's just like, you're fun. You're one of the fun things to do, but like, just.
He's basically saying, let's go to her email because she writes, okay. Is this a valid reason? To give background, our date consisted of me drinking 3 Bud Lights, no food, and I offered to split the tab or just a blow off. Would you love to hear your thoughts? Love the podcast. I went to your show last night in NYC. Thank you. Oh, she was at one of the shows. Also, would love a celebrity lookalike. She's very cute. Shelby has a knack for finding celebrity lookalikes to our listeners.
Oh.
So he's very good at it. She's cute, and in this picture, she's also drinking Bud Lights. She has both hands full of Bud Lights.
She looks cute and nice.
Yeah.
I don't know what's the guy's problem.
Well,
what
he said, she's 24. She meets this guy who's 26, decent job. What he's basically saying is,
how should she respond?
He's saying, listen, I do a lot of shit and I just want you to hook up with me without having to put a lot of money into this.
Yeah.
He said that wrong. I mean, if I was to give him advice, I'd be like, yeah, just play a little bit aloof and text her out on a Saturday night when you're out. Like, it sounds like he's getting too in front of it. But I mean, kind of luckily for her, because then she knows what he's all about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this has nothing to do with you as a person or whether the date went well or not.
Yeah.
This is him saying, I'm looking for someone to hook up with me on my schedule and on my
budget.
My budget. Yeah. Shelby, any thoughts on her lookalike?
I was thinking Sophia Bush.
Ooh. Let's see. Sophia Bush. I see it. Wow. Classic Shelby, you're back, baby.
Lookalike confirmed. Will the group chat agree?
Right? Nora, what do you think? Pretty good.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah.
He nailed it.
Totally.
Wow. Shelby killing it right now. Back on the grind. Well.
By the way, Shelby is an AI, so he's not a real human being.
He's not a real human.
That's why he's that quick at matching and everything.
That's how it goes. Well, do we have, where are we at right now?
We're at hour 3.
Okay. We have time for one news item with Nora?
Yep.
Let's do one piece of news. We'll discuss a news topic. Is that cool?
Yeah.
You've been great. Give it a, everyone go follow Nora Yang, at Nora Yang 37. Go follow, go support. She was hilarious last night. I got to say, you were so funny. 3 years in, that's crazy. You were great. Let's do some news, Shelby.
Well, Nora, you're on a trip here. Jared, you like to take trips sometimes.
Love a good
around
trip.
The world.
Mm-hmm.
The influencer Bethany Baird. Have you heard of her?
No. Bethany.
Don't Google yet.
Okay, I won't.
Her name might come up.
Okay.
She runs the religious lifestyle website Girl Defined.
Okay. Religious lifestyle website.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what religion is she?
I'm going to take a hard, correct guess and say Christian.
Okay. Is religion big in China? I don't know.
No.
Not really.
No, it's not. But you will see churches and you will see temples, but it's just not big. I think this is something that's really missing in China, that people are still busy with the material life.
Oh.
They're not yet worrying because there are still a lot of people that's not living a great life. They're just like surviving, or like they're just like, you know, I'm talking about the rural area of China. There's still a large number of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they have yet the energy to, you know, explore spiritually.
The time to even get into that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. What's going on with Bethany?
So she took a trip to Austria.
Mm-hmm.
Big trip. And had some family there in the past. And along one of her posts, she wrote about the sobering time she spent at World War II sites.
Okay.
Especially with family that lived in Austria at the time. She said, another wonderful day in Austria. We had the opportunity to visit some World War II sites. It's always a sobering experience to think through all that happened at that time. With family that lived in Austria and were directly impacted by the war, I have a special interest about learning what they went through.
Mm.
She also showed her followers a picture of the grave of her great-grandfather Hans Groblicher in the town of Saalfelden.
Okay.
People did a little research.
See, the internet is, I'm sure, what's crazy about the internet is like they'll see everything. Someone's going to go and search out your dead grandfather, and we're going to find out that he did something, right?
They found out that he was a Nazi who was a mayor of the town.
Oh, no!
From 1938 to 1945 when...
Mayor Nazi!
Well, 1945, maybe the Nazi reign came to an end. She's been reached for comment, but she can...
Do you think she knew?
No.
No. I mean, that's one of those things that you're like, we're canceling your dead... You know, like the cancel... We're canceling your dead Nazi grandfather. It's like, yeah, I think he's dead. Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, it is... I'm looking at her, Girl Defined. Here, we're on her blog.
But I feel like, we've heard a lot of news about how people are being digged out of their like history in the past, now in the States especially. Like, people have to be PC, but you cannot be too PC because they still want to see you, you know, be expressive and voicing your thoughts out. I find it to be really like, it's an interesting dilemma, I would say.
It's an interesting dilemma. It's interesting because like,
like, where comes the freedom of speech? Like,
I don't know. Well, it's funny because when I was in China, there was something refreshing about how direct everyone was. They were very direct. There
really?
Was no, am I wrong in saying that? It felt like in China, like, people just say things to you. Like, there's no, like, am I shaming? Like, it's just like, no, this is the fact. We're just going, you know, like, it kind of felt like, there's a window dirty. Clean the window. Like, it wasn't like, I made the joke last night that China felt like America without Jews.
Yeah.
Just the fact that there was no one being like, well, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of that I felt. It felt like people were just, you know, here we're very, right now, the timing is, I'm very worried about if I post a picture of my grandfather, someone goes and searches my, listen, I'm not on the side of a Nazi.
As a mafia, I told you.
Yeah, as a mafia. I'm not like pro-Nazi, but I'm also like, what is this girl going to do?
Yeah.
Like, obviously she wasn't sitting there in Austria going, Man, I'm just sad. I want to look to the good in people. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that she was like sitting there being like, if only Grampy was still around to hate Jews. Like, I don't think that was her intention. I hope not. So it's funny to go search out like her, like if I posted a picture of my grandparents, would people search them out and find out what they did to make it? Now I have to pay for the things my grandparents, you know, I don't know. This is, how far back do we go? How do we,
exactly,
when, like, does it end?
You cannot, like, just because your parents or grandparents were involved in some sort of things doesn't mean that you are one of the bad person. I don't think that's happening. I think it's still going to come down to person.
But then what they say is that they go, well, you've benefited off the bad things. You know, like, and it's like, and on and on and on. Like, I'm not a slippery slope guy, because I think that argument kind of like stops us from having a, you know, do you understand slippery slope? Do you guys have that? So like, it's like, well, if this happens, then this will happen, then this will happen. It's like, I don't like that argument, but now we're seeing people slide down the slope. Like, people are actually going down the slippery slope and making people pay, you know, so I don't like slippery slope arguments, but now we're seeing it happen so much that I'm like, I guess I have to, we have to be wary of the slippery slope argument.
Yeah,
it's scary.
It's really scary.
So, Shelby, thank you for bringing the news.
Thanks for having me.
At Classic Shelb on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Go follow, go support. Nora Yang, this was fantastic.
Thank you for having me. This is so much fun of talking about girls' dormitory things with a man.
So all of you go follow Nora on Instagram. I'm following because I just think it's so interesting to follow someone, you know, doing stand-up in another part of the world. I'm cheering for you. Hopefully
you will come to China again.
Hopefully I come to China and I'm doing shows in Shanghai and we can be on the same show again. All of you go follow Nora at Nora Yang 37.
Engage with the guest on social media.
Do that at Nora Yang 37. I'm Jared Fried. If you're in Philly, New York, Boston, and DC, the Live You Up podcast is coming. If you're in Springfield, Massachusetts, I'm coming in December. If you're in Naples, Florida, I'm coming in January, and that's where we are right now. I'm also, the San Diego date was rescheduled for February, so it's all going to be on my website, jaredfried.com. We'll be back next episode. Boom.
Great job, J-Train. Another perfect episode.